Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This is the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are your daily Celtics podcast, Monday through Friday. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. However you listen to us, wherever it is, thank you for taking us with you. I am John Corrales, here by myself today. Jay King getting rid of that cough. Apparently the Bud Light therapy didn't work. Future reference, I'm not ready to give up on that potential treatment, but it didn't really work as expected. So Jay King under the weather, Sam Packard educating himself to be a more productive member of society than a podcaster. So, you know, that's how it goes. Today we are talking about the main Red Claws. Millie's just said it in the show open. So in depth, we might do an hour about the D-League. That's happening right now. We're doing not an hour, but close on the main Red Claws. They just had this big D-League showcase. Some Red Claws are doing very well. And I am going to be talking to Chris Sedenka, who is the play-by-play, the radio play-by-play guy of the main Red Claws. And he's also co-host of the PM Jab in Portland, Maine, 96.3 FM. That's the show that I do every Wednesdays. They have me on as their Celtics guest. So we're switching roles, which is nice. We're going to be talking about Abdel Nader, Demetrius Jackson. We're going to get into a little overview and get into what the D-League really is and how it impacts the future of the NBA, because things are changing in the NBA and the D-League is going to be a big part of it. And when it came in, when the main Red Claws first started, you had three teams, and those teams changed, kind of sending guys to the same place, which was weird. We're getting away from that. So we'll get into kind of what the competition is, why some results mean stuff and why some results don't. And then we'll get into a little bit of Jordan Mickey, because Jordan is a different kind of guy when it comes to the D-League, where he's kind of up and down and they're giving him some run, and the Celtics really like what he's doing and they really are high on him. So we'll get into all of that in a minute, but I want to say, first of all, thank you for being a subscriber. Please rate us 5 stars, especially if you enjoy today's show. Just do it right now. Just go to wherever you get your podcast, go to iTunes, and click and join us that way. Rate us 5 stars. It really helps us get the word out for the show. If you're not a subscriber, please do that. We are everywhere. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, the TuneIn app, everywhere you get your podcasts. If you are a first-time person, you just found the show, go ahead and subscribe. You're going to get a whole lot more. We do post-game stuff. We'll get into these crazy little D-League things. We got a bunch of great guests. We've had a great show recently with Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer breaking down the draft. So, look, in the span of a few days, you've got a show about the draft. You got a show about the D-League. We've got shows about where we've been talking about trade rumors. We have got the entire construction of the Boston Celtics covered for you. So with that, let's bring in our guest, play-by-play, radio play-by-play guy for the Maine Red Claws, and again, co-host of the PM Jab on 96.3 FM, Chris Sedanka. Okay, Chris, thanks for joining us. Usually, you're introducing me on the Big Jab, so we've switched places. So thanks for joining us on the show. Let's get into it. We just had the D-League Showcase. This is a great time to talk about the D-League. And the star, one of the stars for the showcase, is Abdel Nader. And he's a guy that we saw over the summer. He was, what, the third to the last pick in the draft? We see him over the summer, and he kind of starts wowing us in Las Vegas. And you say, well, it's just Vegas. There was a stretch there where we weren't sure if he was going to even sign with the Celtics. He's going to maybe force his way out, but he took the assignment, and now he's in Maine, and he's the league's tied for sixth in scoring in the league, just tearing it up offensively. He was named first team all showcase. What are we seeing from Abdel Nader out there?
I think we're seeing a lot of what I think a lot of folks kind of expected that you would see. And what I mean by that is he was not as highly rated coming out of college. And I think mainly because Georgie Niang was on his team and he was getting most of that coverage at Iowa State. But I follow my college and they're in the Big 12. So I catch a lot of Big 12 basketball, and I got a chance to watch him over the last few years. And I'll tell you, Abdul's got a lot of talent. There's no doubt about it. Just good outside shot. Now, the outside shot hasn't translated as much this year, but what he's showing you is his ability to get to the basket and his ability to use the left hand and the right hand, which has been very impressive. So, he's a good kid. He wants to work. Like you said, we didn't know if he would be here. And it's a unique situation because we haven't seen a lot of the guys who have done we haven't seen the league really use the draft and stash with the D-League. We obviously see it a lot with European players where you draft a guy and he'll stay over in Spain or Italy for a year or two or whatever the case might be. But this is one of the first we've seen where they actually drafted the player and he's stashed in the D-League so he cannot be called up because he was not signed. So he's really he's a member of the Maine Red Claws all year long. And he's benefiting from it. I think the Celtics are benefiting from it. And ultimately, obviously, the Red Claws are benefiting from it because here's a kid who's, working on his game as much as possible. He's played multiple positions. Like you said, just completely tore up the showcase, which is in front of every NBA team, numerous teams in Europe, and everyone in between. So it's been a lot of fun to watch him play. And there's no doubt he's got an opportunity to play at the next level.
And I guess one question that – it's the first question that was posed to me on Twitter when I said we were going to talk about the D-League tonight and Abdel Nader, because I saw the highlights. I don't get a chance to watch as much D-League as obviously you do, being the play-by-play guy.
Sure.
But, you try to check in on these guys and catch the highlights, and boy, he was stroking from three in the showcase, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The question, though, is – can he defend his position? And we know that the Celtics, the big club right now, having trouble defending very well at all. And I was looking at some of the numbers. The on-off numbers, Nader is his net rating on the floor is a plus 1.5, which is nice. It's a plus. But his net rating, the net rating for the team off the floor is four. Where is it? I just lost it. He is plus 4.2. So their net rating is a few points better with him off the floor. So what's he like defensively? What does he need to work on when it comes to that?
Well, John, I would say I think it's tough to look at plus-minus ratings in the D-League, mainly because no team is really that great at defense. And one of the main reasons a lot of these guys are in the D-League, especially the in-betweeners, is because defensively they're just not there yet, or they have to work on part of a game from a defensive standpoint. So I think from a team defensive effort, Maine really struggled early on. There were games where they were allowing 120-plus at a pretty good clip. So it's something that Scott Morrison has really worked on. And for Nader, he's someone who's had to defend numerous positions. I mean, a couple weeks ago, he was guarding the one because of injuries. So He's someone who has, you know, he's guarded on the block. He's guarded on the perimeter. He's had to guard the one. He's kind of been everywhere. But, you know, is he a work in progress from a defensive standpoint? Sure. Is there stuff where he needs to, you know, he needs to shift his feet more. He needs to, you know, call out picks, you know, make sure he follows on the roll. But he's a smart player. There's no doubt there's the brain there. And I think that's something that you can definitely tell. So from a plus minus standpoint, are they a better team with or without him from a defensive standpoint? I think it's way too inconsistent. You know, I don't think we've seen a big enough sample size to really get a gauge of what that is at this point. So all I know is Scott Morrison's going to have him in the game late if he's available.
And this is a good transition before we get to other specific players on this team. For those listeners who don't also get a chance to watch a lot of D-League, I want to make sure we get the impression of what the D-League really is. Let's get into what people, when they see results, because I've always said on this show that the good results from decent players in the D-League are fine, but it's more telling to me when you don't get good results. If you're supposed to be a good player, you go to the D-League and you suck, that's a big problem. If you're supposed to be a good player and you go to the D-League and you're awesome, well, you're supposed to be, and that doesn't always translate. So I kind of want, maybe you could just get into more of a broader picture of what's going on in the D-League when the main Red Claws, who are operated by the Boston Celtics as their lone D-League affiliate, what are they trying to do? What type of competition are they trying to face? Just kind of like paint the picture for people who don't really fully understand exactly what the D-League is.
Sure, and I think it's a great question, and, you know, we've had the main Red Claws here for 8 years. The Celtics have always been a part of it, and, you know, the first few years we also had the Charlotte Bobcats as an affiliate, and for 1 year also Philadelphia as an affiliate. So now you don't see that anymore. Everyone's either at a one-to-one relationship or they do not have a team at all, and so let's say, like, case in point, if you're the Portland Trailblazers and you want to send a player down on assignment, and they don't have a team, they can essentially work with the league to figure out what the best team would be to fit for, you know, for a week or two, whatever the case might be. So, but we're getting closer and closer to having a full one-to-one, over 20 teams now, and there are more teams entering the league every single year. So teams are certainly starting to buy in. So the way I would characterize how the D-League runs it's probably three different ways. So if you're a team like the Celtics, you're using it as a development league for the most part, as well as, you know, you're comfortable enough sending down players on assignment. Obviously, Demetrius Jackson being the biggest one this year, Jordan Mickey a few times, Jordan Mickey a lot last year, James Young over the last couple of years played significant minutes here. Avery Bradley did a wondrous job when he was down here, and the Celtics have really bought in. Brad Stevens is someone who certainly believes in this league. Danny Ainge comes up to from time to time for games. Austin Ainge we see a lot. And a lot of the Celtics development coaches are here. The Celtics also believe in from a coaching perspective, too. Scott Morrison is someone that they brought in as a development assistant 3 years ago. And then the following year, he gets the job as head coach. And they are very development heavy. Development. No doubt about that. Then I think there's another level where teams are going to use it as just an assignment for the most part. Maybe a guy is just not getting enough minutes. They send him down and, you know, it's less about the development and more about just like your rookies getting an opportunity to get some minutes. And then I think the third level are teams that just haven't bought in yet. And there certainly are those teams still out in the NBA. But I think with the new CBA and I think from teams wanting to have their own team. And I think from the NBA wanting to give a bigger salary to players. You know, this is a league that is just going to continue to grow, and it's an opportunity for guys to play in this country before potentially going overseas if they can't make the NBA or, you know, going in a different direction. So there's a lot of those different things, but ultimately it is a development league. It's an opportunity for guys who are maybe missed in college, guys who didn't make it in college, and, you know, for whatever reason. It's for guys who have flamed out. And we saw that with Bill Walker, who's now Henry Walker, who, you know, essentially had flamed out of the NBA, came back to the D-League and got himself back together and got himself an NBA contract. Same with Gerald Green. I mean, Gerald Green spent a lot of time in the D League as well, and really honed his game back up. Someone like when we saw Lynn a couple years ago, he had one game against the Maine Red Claws. It was a treat. He had a triple double. I mean, that's what you're going to see from guys who are going to play at that level. Most players who are going to make it from the D League are not going to be superstars. They're going to be role players for you. They're going to be the guy that's going to come off the bench. He's going to score, maybe 8 a game for you total, but he's going to get the job done when you need him to. So I think when you think about what the D League truly is, it's a league that, so many of these players can just continue to hone their game, and they can grow their game, and hopefully for them, be able to find that niche. It's great that you can score 20 points in a D League game, but if you can't play a lick of defense, you're never going to make it in the NBA. And that is that we see so many of those players, John, that can score and score and score, but if you can't play defense, you're going to end up in, playing in Macedonia or playing in Lebanon and, making fine money and playing basketball for your career. But, as we know, the NBA, it's the top league, and there's a reason why it's the top league in the world, and there's a reason why there's a lot of money in it. Guys have to be at that level, and so for the most part, a lot of these players are going to struggle to make it to that level.
I'm amazed at this point that we're not at a full one-to-one system, and I guess it takes some late buy-in. I don't think if you're an NBA team, if you don't have a D-League team of your own, I just don't feel like you're doing it right. And it's hard for me to argue with Portland for making that decision. They seem to be doing okay. They're having a little bit of a down year, but they looked good on Saturday. So they'll figure themselves right out. And obviously, when you have Lillard and McCollum and all of that stuff.
That
but aside from that, I would love to see the NBA D League sort of become a full minor league system. It's never going to be like baseball where you have 20 freaking levels of minor leagues and guys go from instructional to A to double A to the, to, whatever. But if we go full one-to-one and every team has its own D League team, do you see some sort of evolution where there's opportunity, you can maybe draft, maybe you expand the draft eventually and you add a third round, and that third round is essentially a D-League draft, but you have the opportunity to maybe bring guys along and they don't want to go to Croatia to play basketball, like you said.
Right.
They want to at least, like, if you're going to be paid crap money, you might as well be paid crap money in a place where you can understand the language and go to a McDonald's or something and order something rather than be in the middle of nowhere. And I like to see the opportunity for a league for the team to bring guys along and have this full instructional type of league, this team, where it's not Abdel Nader, Demetrius Jackson, and then, six guys who they drafted out of something that'll never sniff the NBA.
Right. And I think you're starting to see that shift, to be honest with you. And that's why I'm with you. I'm surprised that more team, it's not to a one-to-one yet, but obviously getting a franchise off the ground is not the easiest thing in the world, and I understand that. But, I mean, you just mentioned the Portland Trailblazers. CJ McCollum is a D-League alum. He played I can't remember how long ago, but he was a member of the Idaho Stampede, and now look what he's able to do. And there's so many other guys. I think the number it's up to 40% of NBA players have experience in this league. And, we see it every single year, guys who are draft picks and are sitting at the end of the bench. What's the point of having them be inactive every single game and not get the minutes? And, it helped the Celtics trade Dwight Powell, because Dwight Powell, when he was a member of the Celtics, was never playing. But when he came down here, he played a lot of minutes. The Mavs saw him play, and, he was traded, and he got that opportunity. So, and just from a Celtics standpoint, I mean, you think about all the guys who have come through here who are now either playing with the Celtics or beyond, including, like I said, Avery Bradley, who's probably the number one choice there. But, I mean, even someone like Tim Frazier, who the Celtics have had in camp, who – came here and ended up in Portland for a little while, and now is, you know, starting for the New Orleans Pelicans on quite a few nights. So it's been fun to watch, and I'm shocked with all the analytics and all of the opportunities to, you know, keep players here in this country, to be able to look at them, that you don't have that one-to-one. And one of the things, like you mentioned just at the end there, talking about the, you have player A, player B, and then the rest of just kind of fill-ins, that is already starting to change. And what is kind of changing that is a new rule called the affiliate rule that came into play. I think the first year was last year, where if you're brought into summer camp or brought into fall camp to the NBA team and you're cut, the D League team, the affiliate has first rights to those players. So case in point, Jalen Jones, who's had a great year for the Maine Red Claws. He was in camp, obviously, with the Boston Celtics. Since he was cut by the Celtics, the Maine Red Claws are able to bring him in as an affiliate player. Now, granted, he is technically a free agent, so any team in the NBA could go and pick him up. But at least from a Celtics perspective, they already know what kind of player they have. They're able to send him down, they're able to cut him, and knowing that at least with him playing with the Maine Red Claws, he's playing the same kind of sets, same kind of offense, same kind of defense. So they already have kind of a hand up and foot in the door of what knowing really what his ability is, at least in that system. So right now, Jalen Jones is one of those players. Marcus Georges Hunt is another one of those affiliate players for the Maine Red Claw, for the Boston Celtics / Maine Red Claws. And Damian Lee, who unfortunately tore his ACL, he's out for the year. But you're starting to see teams do that more and more too, where you bring in more players into your summer league, you bring more players into your fall camp, and if they're cut, they're going to end up on your D League team. So technically, they're not on your roster, and anyone can pick them up as a free agent, but at least you know they're working in your system.
Yeah, Georges Hunt is like one of those guys that was that late signing. They had just gone through all of this paring down the roster, and then they signed the guy, and it's like, what? They just, who? And that was the whole thing. Like, it was one of those guys that Ainge wants to get a closer look at him. So you sign him, you basically cut him right away, and then he goes to Maine, and it's an opportunity. I like that. It's a little bit of a gaming the system. I would love to be able to see more of, and I think one of the changes in the new CBA is that dual contract thing where you get paid your minor league type salary in Maine, but if you get called up, you get NBA level money.
Yeah, and that's the NHL / AHL, what they have for the two-way contract is what they call it, where if you depending on which team you're on, you're making that kind of contract. And again, I don't know all the particulars in the CBA yet. I don't even know if they've released all that information, but I do know that the contracts are supposed to be coming up here in the D-League, which should help these guys out, because right now, it's very low. You're talking low 20s, if that, for some of these guys in this league. So that's very difficult, obviously. Moving forward here with some of these guys who are going to have to make a decision after a year or two. But, Marcus Georges Hunt's an interesting guy. He is a guard, but you're talking 6'5", 6'6", as a point guard. So he has a lot of size. He's a pretty good defender, and he's kind of just learning his way. He shot the ball probably better than most people expected, too. So it's been a lot of fun to watch him. Very good rebounder as a guard as well. So someone who I think will also get a look in the NBA here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, real interesting to see how they play this thing. All right, let's go back into some of these individual players, because Demetrius Jackson's a guy that people want to keep tabs on. You never know when Ainge is going to pull off one of those deals. And if you have a guard or two go in one of the deals, then maybe Jackson ends up coming up and filling a role in Boston. So how's he looked in Maine?
He's looked pretty good. I think anyone who watched him at the collegiate level knows he can score. He knows he can get the ball to the basket. And, he's easily been Maine's best at that. From the guard position of being able to slash inside, be able to, find that space to get to the rack. And a pretty good shooter from the outside. He shot relatively well, not too bad. But I think the thing he has to work on is being that floor general, being able to be, a true point guard at times, because in college, it's so easy for you know, if your best player is your point guard, you're probably asking him to do a lot of the scoring too, you know, at the collegiate level. Now, obviously that can change in the NBA, and you are asked to be a little bit more of a floor general. So I think Demetrius is someone who, you know, I'm sure the Celtics would love for him to just continue to kind of work more on being that number one position opposed to being the number two, which in the NBA, again, he's going to be asked to do a lot of. So ultimately, he's somebody that I'm not surprised at all that the Celtics were pretty high up on. He's a really high energy guy, high IQ basketball player. And he's had his growing pains a little bit from a point guard perspective at the collegiate level. But ultimately, I think he's somebody that the Celtics might take a look at. Or like you said, I mean, who knows down the road. But, you know, he's probably NBA quality.
All right, so we get a couple of NBA quality guys. Any of these other guys on this team, do you think that now I'm talking about guys who may be picked up by other teams. Anybody else that's on this team that we might see make some noise in the NBA?
I'd say, I mean, right now on this team, obviously Nader is going to be that next year. I think Jalen Jones is a really fun player to watch. He's incredibly athletic. He is probably about 6'7". You know, he can play the five, he can play the four, he can play the three. He's someone who needs to work on his shot a little bit. But he is a slasher. He is a, you know, he's a bull charger, that kind of player that he'll put his head down and he will just blast right through you and slam it down. I mean, he's that type of high energy and just incredibly strong. He can be out of control at times, but also just a killer on the glass. He is a pretty good passer. We've seen him just make hustle play after hustle play. He played the other day where he diving out of bounds, threw it to the basket, and, you know, got an assist on this beautiful pass. He's someone who can be on the floor and make a beautiful bounce pass. He just, you know, he knows the game, and he plays with just such high energy. The question is, can he kind of get it all together and control, you know, in a controlled manner, in a controlled pace? He'll get looks. There's no doubt about that. The question is, you know, can he, you know, from having all that energy, from having all that athleticism, can he, you know, find that control? Can he find that consistent shot? Because as we know, you know, if you're going to be kind of that slash in between size and, you know, if you're asked to be kind of that wing player, you got to be able to knock down that outside shot. And so if he can be able to do that, if he kind of hones it in a little bit, he'll get some opportunities. As for Demetrius Jackson, we talked about Damian Lee, unfortunately tore his ACL. He was an incredibly athletically gifted player. He'll be back. There's no doubt about it. Unfortunately for him, it's his second season-ending knee injury. He had one in college. So hopefully that, you know, moving forward, he's able to stay healthy. But he was shooting nearly 50% from downtown when he went down. You know, so he's somebody, again, who an outstanding shooter. He's a up-and-down defender. He'll play all the way, all over the floor. And no question this team is hurt when he got hurt. There's no doubt about that. This team has been affected since he's been hurt. So that kind of shows you the kind of impact that he had. Marcus Georges Hunt, as we talked about. And a player who, not a member of this team, but a member of the Boston Celtics, who got a start the other day. And we've seen him play quite a bit last year. And I'm telling you, this kid's going to get an opportunity, John. Jordan Mickey is such a competitor. He is just such a competitor. Obviously pretty raw in some parts of his game, but he has worked so hard. Just a great shot blocker, needs to work on rebounding, and obviously needs to work on scoring a little bit. But this is a guy who I think the Celtics are so high on, and the reason why they keep sending him down, I don't think was a penalty. I think they want to just get him in minute after minute, especially with so many guys with contracts up upcoming this year. It'll be interesting to see kind of what his role is next year.
Yeah, you know, let's talk a little bit about Mickey, because he's not a guy that I normally think of now this year as a D-League guy, but he's been there for a few games, up and down. They need him, especially with half the team friggin' sick or whatever that is going on. So, I mean, Tyler Zeller's had a sinus infection for what feels like 2 months.
So
Mickey is a guy, and I think he's that classic guy that we're talking about before. When he's there, he plays exceptionally well in Maine, and he's had a lot of opportunities to go block a lot of shots. He seems to I feel like he's trying to expand his range, and I've seen him shoot threes and take some threes, but you know, he plays really well when he goes to Maine, and then he comes to Boston. You can kind of see the difference in what it takes to be a great player versus, you know, the results. I mean, right now in Maine, he's averaging about 17 points and 9 rebounds over 4 games. That's really, really good. So what are we seeing him when you watch him in Boston and he plays, he got some minutes against Portland. And when you see him out on the NBA floor, just compare and contrast what you see on the D League floor and what that difference is versus the competition and all of that.
I think it's the classic case. I think he's the classic tweener, for, and I'll take it from like a baseball term of like he's like your 4A guy, your quadruple A player.
Yep. Where
he's going to be in AAA. He's going to tear it up. Maybe Major League Baseball. He hasn't found his footing yet. I think that is the easiest way to describe what Jordan Mickey is. He is going to come down to the D-League, and he knows he can own it. He knows that most of the big guys he's going to have upper hand with. He knows kind of the tendencies, whatever the case might be. He's extremely confident here. I think up in the NBA, I think it's just a lack of experience. I think it's a lack of minutes. I think it's lots of sitting on the bench, you know, maybe getting these opportunities. It's a confidence thing. And I think you saw that. I think there's a reason why Brad Stevens started him the other day in that game. I think it was a couple of weeks ago when he got the start. And I think it was a confidence boost. Let's give this kid an opportunity, get him some minutes here with the first team and see what he can do. But I think for him, he has the game. He knows what he can do. It's just about kind of translating that into that next level. And I wonder if it's also a practice thing too, where it might be. I mean, as we know with Brad, I mean, if Brad's going to play if he trusts you. And I just don't know if he's really earned that trust yet. And I don't think it's – I certainly think he still has plenty of opportunities to do so. It's just, you know, once – he's just got to get that opportunity.
Yeah, well, he's a young guy. I mean, he's
– yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah.
You know, we forget sometimes he's young in age. He is – new to basketball still, like new to NBA basketball. So it's good, again, when he goes to the D-League, the positive results are at least encouraging in that he doesn't suck against much lesser competition. So that at least gives you hope that he can go against lesser competition and display an ability to take advantage of that situation. That's good. So
yep.
We know, you know, confidence means so much in this game. When you carry yourself with confidence on a basketball court, sometimes that's the difference between having a great game and having a terrible one, or just having a successful stretch or versus having a terrible one. If you don't do things with confidence, if you don't, whatever it is, a dribble move, set a pick, go for a rebound, it's just going to all fall apart. So I like this idea that at least he has some confidence at that level. He just needs to foster that at this level. A lot of people are looking at Jordan Mickey as a guy that could be part of the future, or maybe he's part of a trade and he plays so well in the D League that you can say, hey, look, we'll throw this guy in. It's a pretty high value for you to take this guy. Look at what he's doing. We don't have a spot for him, but he'll do very well for you. Say, I don't know, Philly or Orlando or somebody like that.
Right.
So
no, yeah, I think it's a good way to look at it, and there's no doubt about it. And you know, because again, I mean, obviously, not everyone here is going to be in the Boston Celtics here moving forward, and we've seen that before with some of the D League players, as I mentioned, you know, Powell and Henry Walker, a couple of those guys who've gotten opportunities somewhere else, Tim Frazier getting an opportunity somewhere else, but ultimately, this is a guy in Jordan Mickey who, I mean, again, like I said, he has the game, and does he have to work on some offensive moves? Sure. But defensively, he should be ready and rip-raring to go here to be able to play at that next level. And I think for him, again, it's a confidence thing. And he's young. And as we've talked about with the rookies this year, I mean, no one's really flashed and done too much. It's kind of been what we've seen from the NBA the last couple of years, where these draft class just haven't been as strong or top-heavy as some of the other ones have.
All right. That's a nice, solid D-League conversation because we are so in-depth. We'll do that kind of stuff. Chris Sedanka, the radio play-by-play voice of the Maine Red Claws, also co-host the PM Jab, which you hear me on the PM Jab Wednesdays. So
Wednesdays. That's right. Wednesdays at 6:30.
Every Wednesday. I'm there, baby. One of my favorite things to do. Chris, thank you so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, John. Anytime. And get yourself up to a game, man. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I really got to make a Portland trip. I'm going to friggin' Wisconsin next weekend to see the Celtics play the Bucks.
Nice.
Who goes to Wisconsin at the end of January?
Like, absolutely nobody.
Nobody that,
not
I mean,
one person.
They're paying the Celtics to do it. I'm paying for the privilege to go. So, but yeah, I definitely got to come up to Portland. That'd be a lot of fun. All right, Chris,
very
thanks
cool,
a lot, man. Appreciate
all right, take
it.
Care of yourself, buddy.
All right, that was Chris Sedanka. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Sedanka, Sedenka. Does a great job calling those Red Claws games. And if you're in Portland on the Big Jab, check out the PM Jab. And of course, I'm on there on Wednesdays. That was a great conversation. And I just want to thank everybody for listening. And I really think that the D League is an important thing. And in a few years, it's not going to happen right away, but in a few years, it really could start to change a lot about how the NBA works. When they get that full system where every team has their own D-League affiliate or a team that they own, and you can start shuttling guys back and forth, you're going to see a lot more opportunity for people to stay in the United States and play under the watchful eye of the teams that hold their rights. And I think that's going to force an evolution in future collective bargaining agreements, how the contracts are structured. You heard Chris mention, these guys make no money. When you're signed to the D-League, you're making almost nothing. He wasn't kidding, the $20,000 a year. I mean, you get other things, you know, you don't just have to survive on that, but it's not like anybody's getting rich. They are not making a lot of money in the D-League. So that can change, and I think as more money flows into the NBA and these D-League games become more popular, I think that's going to be a great chance for some fans. Maybe if you're not able to get from Portland to Boston as often, you just go to a Portland and go to the main Red Claws game. Take your kids. You get some fun basketball. You get to see maybe some future stars in the making. And I think that's going to be a very popular way to kind of push the game forward. So lots of interesting stuff about that, about the D-League. And I feel like this conversation only just scratched the surface. Well, we're definitely going to check in on these guys again moving forward and as the season progresses, because we want to keep an eye on the people that we're looking to as the potential future of this team. Look, guys, we've got Nader in the D-League, Jackson, they're both playing really well. We've got Ante Zizic and Gershon Yabusele out there drafting stash overseas. They're playing really well. We have the potential to completely remake our roster and fill some pretty big holes with people we already have the rights to. So that's something we don't talk about a ton, but next year's wing depth could be greatly aided by Abdel Nader, and he's showing enough in the D-League where he will get a real opportunity. And depending on how the cap space is used, and hopefully they can get another high-level star in here, but then they've got the rights to all of these other guys, and that's an opportunity to fill out the bench with high-quality players that you don't have to go out and scour the ends of the earth for. We have them. So if you don't follow the Red Claws, I know it's tough, but it's easy to watch their games. They broadcast on YouTube. So if you're following the main Red Claws on Twitter, as simple at main Red Claws, they'll put it out there and just follow them on Twitter. They'll put out when the games are. You could just pop it on, and some of them are played during the middle of the day. You could goof off at work for all we care. Do that and watch some D-League basketball. Not the best quality product. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes those games can be a little tough, but if you want to watch for some of these potential future stars, it's worth it every once in a while. So thank you all for listening to the show. Thank you all for subscribing, being part of the show on a daily basis. We are here Monday through Friday in some form. Me, Jay, Sam Packard, we're here. And if you are an advertiser, you want to get in on this, be part of the Locked On Celtics and the Locked On Podcast Network. We do have opportunities for you to advertise on our show, if you're interested in a show that brings you a large male audience, it's 97% men, it's 71% of our audience is between 18 and 44. Those are the people with the money, advertisers. They got the cash. They want to spend it. And recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products they learned about on podcasts. So we're the conduit. And so all you got to do is email us at LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. If you have a business, a local business, something, the rates are very reasonable. Okay. And the payoff is big, and it's not going to be, there's a whole system to make it worth your while. So if you're interested, LockedOnCeltics@gmail.com. That's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. We will be back after the Celtics Wizards, which will be a fun one. But watch for some fireworks on that one, guys, because we still got the little nose boop thing to kind of work through. And there's some bad blood. There's bad blood between the Celtics and the Wizards. We're going to see how that works out. It's going to be me. It's going to be Sam Packard post-game talking about that show. Thanks for listening. We are the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.